Before we get back to today's episode, I wanted to tell you about a powerful resource we're making available this month. If you're looking to start the new year with deeper wisdom and spiritual clarity, you're going to love our brand new 30-day devotional inspired by C.S. Lewis. Each day offers rich, thought-provoking insights drawn from Lewis's timeless writings, helping you grow in faith, renew your mind, and walk more closely with God. And for a limited time, this devotional is our special thanks for your gift to support Premier Insight. Your generosity helps create and share content that equips believers to think biblically and engage our culture with truth and grace. So I encourage you to give today by visiting premierinsight.org/C.S. Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/C.S. Lewis to receive your devotional. Now on to today's show.
When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis Podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show.
I am very excited to be joined today by Dr. Crystal Hurd, an educator, poet, and researcher from Virginia. She's contributed a chapter on Flora Lewis, C.S. Lewis's mum, in the book Women and C.S. Lewis. And she's written her own book, The Leadership of C.S. Lewis, 10 Traits to Encourage Change and Growth. We're going to be talking about Crystal's work on various aspects of C.S. Lewis's life, as well as sharing a paper that was presented on her behalf at the 2024 Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference, which was held at George Fox University. The title of Crystal's paper there was How Paternal Literary Habits Influenced C.S. Lewis. Crystal, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
We have got so much to talk about, and I'm so excited about every aspect of the research that you've done. But before we do that, would you just take us back to the beginning of your own journey with C.S. Lewis? What was your first encounter with Lewis?
Well, I actually graduated in 2001, back in the Stone Age, it feels like now, with a degree in English literature from the University of Tennessee. And at the time, I had read some of the world's most beautiful literature that was inspired by religious belief. And so I sort of asked myself the question, so who's writing this stuff today? Who's writing this for a modern audience? And I was just looking around and doing some research. I didn't really grow up with a lot of, you know, like spiritual, I mean, it was mainly like sermons, you know, type thing. And then somebody mentioned to me, have you ever read C.S. Lewis? And I said, I think I've heard of him. And I don't remember who that was, but I owe them a fruit basket for sure, because they changed the trajectory of my life. It was, they said, you should read Mere Christianity. So the next time that I went to the bookstore, I picked up Mere Christianity. And I don't think I've ever had a reading experience like that. Wow. Before or since. I was highlighting every single paragraph. Wow. I was underlining everything. I was like, this guy gets it. This guy gets it. It was like a joy and a relief, right? At the same time, because I knew I'd found somebody who looked at their spirituality like I wanted to see it. And it made perfect sense because he was a literary scholar and I had studied literature. And so he was able to apply that critical lens to so many good things, but also sort of see the like spiritual underpinnings of so many of the things that we look at now. So yeah, Yeah, he was just able to open the world up to me in such an interesting way.
Amazing, amazing. Crystal, you said that it changed the trajectory of your life, which that's pretty extreme. So this might be really hard to whittle down, but in what ways do you feel like C.S. Lewis has impacted your life or your faith journey?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I think he shaped my worldview, which is how we view everything. I have never seen, even when I was young, I grew up, I was a cradle Baptist. I'm a Lutheran now, but I didn't know what it was like to not have a church family or a religious belief. And I think I wanted it to grow with me. And I think Lewis is one of those few people that you can do that with. You can start in Narnia, grow through the Great Divorce, you know, and Mere Christianity, and continue as you develop and mature into your own faith. And he will walk beside you. He will escort you every step of that journey. He's one of the few people we can do that with because of his incredibly vast library of things he's written. So for me, I saw my spiritual belief as an umbrella that covered everything, that touched everything. And it wasn't compartmentalized at all for me. And here was a man who said, yes, I read as a Christian. I behave as a Christian. I talk as a Christian. I pray as a Christian. I you know, discuss the weather as a Christian. Like, these beliefs are so soaked into the DNA that you can't really, it feels foreign to take that away. It feels, you know, it feels like you've stripped something away to take that religious aspect away. So Lewis saw that, you know, and he says, you've never spoken to a mere mortal, right? Yeah. And to see everything completely bathed in like this ethereal texture, to me, is like how I saw the world through my faith. So he allowed me to ask questions. I have ADHD, and like I was mentioned earlier, I wasn't diagnosed until I was in my 40s. And it, you know, you go and research and seek, and Lewis gave me permission to do that, to seek and ask questions and be okay in the interim, but to also say God is big enough to answer your question.
This might be really difficult for you to do, Crystal, but if I had to push you, do you have a favorite quote, a favorite work of Lewis, a favorite book of his? And if so, why is it? Or is it that you maybe have favorites at different points in your life or depending on what you're feeling?
Oh, well, Mere Christianity is always my go-to there. It was my entry point. It was my wardrobe into everything. And I mean, I love that movie, even though I didn't read Narnia till I was almost 30 years old. I watched the movie, and you know, Lucy opens the door and it just transforms everything. And then you're never the same afterwards. And I sort of feel like reading Lewis was like that. Not only did I feel like I found this kindred soul, I mean, this kindred spirit in my own journey, even though I was on a different continent in a different generation. But honestly, I feel like there are several things that I do have in common with Lewis growing up. I'm from an Appalachian region. He was from Belfast, which is a working class, you know, area. And so, while there, I feel like there are things that he can resonate with me on. Mere Christianity to me was always the, you know, stripping everything down and just saying, here's the bare basics. We might splinter on our, you know, persuasions. but these are the basics. Fiction wise, you probably heard this a lot, but it's Till We Have Faces.
It's a popular one.
It's Till We Have Faces to me is because I teach high school during the day, but I feel like as we grow older, we sometimes develop these masks and these sort of performative traits. We're kind of like chameleons sometimes. We can adapt to our audience. I'm not saying that's a bad thing always, but like, I feel like sometimes as adults, we get caught up in very nuanced and, you know, difficult situations. And sometimes we wear a mask. And so But when we are alone and when we are trying to be self-aware, we have to take that mask off and we have to face the God who made us. He is not fooled by you know, these things that we try to wear, these different robes we try to wear, right? I know in Macbeth was said, why are you dressed me in borrowed robes? I feel like as adults, sometimes we kind of lose that childlike faith and we lose a lot of that curiosity, and duties and things get in the way. And so what I love about Till We Have Faces is, well, there's two things really. One is that I feel like all of us need to come back to square one to really see things clearly sometimes. And two, because I've had people ask me over the years, you know, what works Lewis has that reflect like his mother or his father. And my response for Albert is always Till We Have Faces, because that second section is in a courtroom, right? And he's in a courtroom and he's being judged and all these people around him. And he grew up with a father who was a police court solicitor who talked all the time about his job. And so I feel like Albert kind of influenced that section, because his whole life he was listening to terminology from the courts and talking about justice, and even God in the dock, right? It takes that same stance. So yeah, I love the return to honesty and intimacy that that book, you know, begs us to do, the self-reflection.
Crystal, you've obviously done quite a lot of research for your work, but in a, I suppose it's going to be hard to differentiate it, but perhaps in more of a personal capacity, do you feel like Lewis has changed your perspective on a particular issue at all?
Not really on a specific issue, but just overall, understanding that people can be good, and that we love our, I mean, like it said, I think it says it right in Mere Christianity. If they're your enemy, you're commanded to pray for them. You know, if they're someone you don't like, all the more you have to, you know, you have to pray for them. You have to learn to love. And he even says, right, if you may not love it, but if you pretend that you do, eventually you will. So I think he's taught me, and George MacDonald too, really taught me this both as well, which he was someone that Lewis introduced me to, is about understanding the great call, which is to love God and love people. And Lewis and his master, George MacDonald, have taught me that, that everybody is precious.
Brilliant.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected. When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation. Crystal, let's talk about leadership, because you did your doctoral research focused on C.S. Lewis as a transformational leader. Why did you decide to do your research on that topic?
So that's an interesting question. And that was me marrying two things that I love to talk about. At the time, I was doing an EdD in educational leadership and policy analysis, which I kind of fell into unexpectedly. It was one of those God things where it just works out. And I went in the first semester saying, I'm not a leader. I'm this, I'm that. I feel like, you know, where it's like, look at my brother, Aaron, he's such a better speaker than me, you know, like, and it's like, yeah, then God says, you know, I can empower you to do whatever you want. I mean, God used a burning bush. God used a donkey. God can use anybody to make a transformation in culture. So when I was, I was at a secular university, and I brought up the idea. My original mentor declined it and said, no way. So I switched mentors.
And why? So why did your original mentor decline it?
He said we didn't have, it's a secular university. I think he was leery of doing a Christian or a religious figure. And I said, that's funny, because we teach Shakespeare over in the English department. And, you know, he was very, I mean, you know, I know Sarah Waters talks about, you know, a lot about Shakespeare and Lewis. I mean, Shakespeare has a lot of, you know, religious wording and stuff in his, you know, and he grew up in a Catholic family. So it's, you know, to me, like I said, I see everything as covered by spirituality. So I didn't see it at all as a problem. It's just part of the fabric of living to us. You know, so he was just like, you know, and so I had found another teacher in the department who was very encouraging. So I switched, and I kind of had to tiptoe, because unfortunately my mentor was the dean of the department at the time. So I had to, you know, to ballet dance a little around some of the paperwork. But I just knew it. And it was crazy, because God's fingerprints were all over that. And I even was like, I needed one more person on my committee. I went to class. There was another professor that I hadn't even had in the department who stopped me and said, oh, wait, are you the person doing C.S. Lewis for your dissertation? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, I would love to be on that committee. And I had one more spot available on that committee. And it just everything fell into place as it does. And so, yeah, it was just like, I loved. And there were people in the department who said, that's not going to work. There were people I talked to just casually who said, that's a terrible topic. That's not going to work. they said, what did he lead? And I was like, a bunch of people to Christ.
For a start.
You know, there's different types of leadership. And, you know, one of those is sort of the grassroots leader, the emergent leader that just sort of does their thing and people follow because they are genuine. And so, yeah, when by the time I had started pulling out the transformational leadership formatting, I said, he beats all of these, all of these requirements. So to me, it was just common sense. And plus, I got to spend months and months and months reading C.S. Lewis for school. So it was a great excuse for me to read C.S. Lewis and say, don't bother me. I'm doing research. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Crystal, it's interesting that you mentioned there that people were a little bit wary and they sort of said, what did he lead? I mean, where did Lewis lead? Obviously, there's the influence aspect, which we'll talk about in a bit. But what leadership roles did Lewis hold during his lifetime?
So for a little while, he was vice president at Magdalen. he absolutely hated it, hated every minute of it. And I think it was the bureaucracy aspect of it, the paper pushing. He talks about the paper pushing in one of his letters. He just hated that. He wanted to be with the literature and with students and doing all that stuff. The bureaucracy he hated. But, you know, supposedly they took turns in the department. When he was up for it, he reluctantly did it. And supposedly, like, quit early. He was not a fan of all that stuff. And that's sort of one of the, you know, aspects of leadership is, you know, having to fill out the paperwork and tiptoe through the red tape and all that. But he talks about in one of the early letters how he wanted to be a headmaster, right, when he was early on. And when he went to the interview, the man asked him, "Do you feel like you could yell at students and get their obedience?" And he's like, "I don't think so." "I don't think I could." But, you know, don't say never about what God can do for you, because then I think people were drawn to his genuine. He was very matter of fact, right? He was able. I love the fact that he calls himself a translator in the letters, not a theologian. He feels like his job is to make difficult things clear for people. And I think, when you were talking about our souls and our eternity and all these big topics, we want somebody to sort of come in and say, "Here's really how it is. Let me give you the rundown." You know, because it can get fuzzy. I mean, if you study theology for any amount of time, it can get really complicated. Mm-hmm. And we're dealing with big issues. So I think because Lewis was not afraid to break these things down, to make them clear. Like I said, Mere Christianity is a beautiful example of that, to see what unites us and what not what divides us. And even there's stories of during World War II, when he was making the talks that would become Mere Christianity, how people in the pubs would tell everybody to hush and turn the radio up for his 15 minutes.
Wow.
Because he was so good at translating these things for the common people. I think that was just, and again, I think that goes back to him growing up in a working class North Irish town around tons of working class people. He was able to make that, you know, cognitive leap and help people get there instead of letting them just sort of marinate in incomprehensible topics.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what he did. When I start the book on leadership, you know, I have that image of him crossing the street with all of his students because he had too many students. And so they actually moved his lecture hall to someone larger. Mm-hmm. So he had to lead all these undergraduates across the street. And I said, what a moment of foreshadowing we have here.
Mm-hmm.
So many people have come to Christ. I know Alistair and other folks have talked about this, but so many people have come to Christ because they've read and understood, you know, how Lewis saw the world, and saw God.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the program. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos, and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources, and more. That's premierunbelievable.com. What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @premierunbelievablefe, or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook @premierunbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there @premier.unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.